Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Turbo Time podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Espinoza, the editor of Turbo Machinery International. And today we're talking with Giuseppe Tolocca. He is a scientific officer at ETN Global. So ETN Global is a nonprofit member association that's in the gas turbine technology space. And they recently released a global report, Decentralized Energy Systems Toward Carbon Neutral Energy Solutions for Gas Turbines. So Giuseppe is going to give us some background on the report and how ETN defines these energy systems, and then kind of go through hurdles within them and their advantages over centralized units, as well as some trends and emerging market opportunities. And then we'll get into gas turbines and how they fit into decentralized energy systems. So welcome, Giuseppe. Thank you for coming on the podcast today. I'm happy to talk to you.
Thank you, Alyssa. Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to be in your podcast.
Let's just start with you giving us some background on ETN Global and then its report on decentralized energy systems.
ETN Global is a nonprofit association, including over 140 members for the whole energy and turbo machinery sector. So we have OEMs, we have users, we have the R&D community, we have suppliers. We have basically a broad spectrum of stakeholders. We mainly work on technology, but also we delve into market and policy. Now, the way we work is we get the user feedback every year through our high-level user meeting and transform that into a sort of pathway to a technical requirement that goes into our several working groups, which are composed by our members. Now, considering this specific report, we all know that the energy sector is transforming very quickly, and it's mainly driven by the increasingly high share of renewable energy sources. Now, in this scenario, which is dominated by variable sources, the daily, weekly, and seasonal flexibility are set to grow dramatically. Now, if we want to meet the system requirements while accomplishing the ambitious decarbonization goals, we need to support the traditional centralized generation with a mix of decentralized components, such as demand response and distributed generation. And it is all about this report, and that fits into the title, so Towards Carbon Neutral Energy Solution for Gas Turbines. So this is one of the work, one of the activities of the ETN Global Decentralized Energy System Working Groups, which involve different stakeholders, as I said before, in the energy turbo machinery. So we had user, we had OEMs, we had the R&D community working in this report. And what it is really about is going into the critical role of decentralized energy systems in achieving carbon neutral energy solutions. So particularly focusing on the integration and application of gas turbine technology. So just to give the content of the report in a nutshell, this report outlines the current state of decentralized energy systems and highlights the market trends and finally identify technological challenges, but also opportunities.
Okay, so how do you define a decentralized energy system? And what is its advantage over centralized heat and power units?
So historically, we established our centralized energy system. This means large plants located far from the consumers. And the reason behind that is mainly economy of scale and efficiency. So it is cheaper to have one big plant than many small ones. However, with the increasing integration of variable renewable energy sources, which are inherently decentralized, we now need to adapt our infrastructure and incorporate technologies that are traditionally used for centralized systems. So by definition, the centralized energy system is located close to the consumption nodes, so on the end user side of the network, and therefore is connected to the distribution grid rather than the transmission grid. So the advantages that the centralized energy system bring are mainly modularity, the possibility of exploiting waste heat, but also a positive contribution to grid stability. But in particular, one of the main advantages of being close to the consumption nodes to the consumer is avoiding transmission and distribution losses, but also costs compared to centralized generation. So decentralized energy systems are sort of pivotal in meeting the pillars of the energy trilemma, which stresses the principle of affordability, security, and climate neutrality, and hence it aligns with the requirements for the transition toward 2030, but also 2040 and 2050.
What are the biggest hurdles that decentralized energy systems face?
The hurdles of decentralized systems are mainly three. So from the technological side is mainly the scale. Provided that the smallest size of the installed equipment, decentralized system often feature high capital costs, which is mainly driven up by the economy of scale. So smaller equipment is proportionally more expensive than bigger equipment. So this is more of an issue for CapEx if we also consider that decentralized systems involve several technology, and even more if we consider OPEX, operating costs, if you assume that smaller units means usually lower efficiency. Now, in this regard, the technology is progressing fast. So we now have, for instance, 400 kilowatt turbines that are as efficient as 50 megawatt aeroderivative turbines. Now, if you go on the other hand, so we go to the user side, one of the main hurdles is commitment. So this applies to residential, commercial, but also the industrial sectors. So investing in energy is not necessarily seen as a priority. In many cases, it's just way easier to plug into the grid and forget about it, although it's not always possible. So this, for instance, is not exactly the case when energy is a primary cost, or for instance, you need heat or mechanical power. And that brings me to another issue. So one of the most challenging aspects of the centralized energy system is the integration of different energy sources, energy technology, and energy products. And they all need to coexist. So you may have variable renewables to provide power. You may have storage when you have a surplus. You may need your storage to be short-term like battery or longer-term like fuel. You may have flexible technology that makes sure you always have your power available. However, power is not the only form of energy. So you might also have heat. You may also have other things that for users are very important. So just to put it into one unique sentence, having many sources, many technologies, many products, just imagine the huge quantity of data and information to be managed. And in such complex systems, integration and controls are some of the biggest challenges.
Okay, so what are some trends and emerging opportunities that ETN Global is seeing in this space? I mean, I think you kind of touched on quite a few, but go ahead and take it away.
I mean, with the increasing penetration of renewable and the increasing decentralization, there is a word we keep hearing over and over and always more often, which is the word flexibility. So suppose we intend flexibility as merely power balance. So in that case, only in Europe, to maintain the electricity system, for instance, to meet the demand, we'll need more than double the current flexibility resources by 2030 and five times more by 2050. Now, considering that we do not have many available and for affordable alternatives for longer term flexibility than gas turbine, that is sort of one thing that we know we can do. We might also stress that energy balance is only part of the problem. Indeed, many other ancillary services will be of critical importance to maintain a reliable power supply. Indeed, we will need to move towards integrating smaller units or even agglomerates like a virtual power plants in the ancillary market services. And these two factors are even more relevant if you consider possible congestions and bottlenecks in the power grid that will limit the interconnection capacity and flexibility. And that might require substantial investment to overcome. But there is another matter that we often forget, that energy includes not only electricity, but also mechanical power and also heat, which are inherently decentralized. And if you consider high temperature heat, electrifying that presents several big challenges. And that is why we believe that gas turbine in the centralized energy system will have a role in providing flexibility and ancillary services, as well as mechanical power and heat.
Okay, so let's talk about gas turbines. Where do they fit into a decentralized, you know, carbon neutral energy system?
Okay, I'll take this question in two parts. Let's focus on the decentralized part. So on the decentralized part, gas turbines are recognized mainly for their low maintenance, their fuel flexibility, and their compactness. So in this sort of field, the application they mainly are successful in are primary generation, continuous power, or even standby power. Now, in this application, they mostly leverage low maintenance, especially for remote application like offshore telecom towers, either mobile tower where you can move compact units with trucks, for instance, or even data center. Another strength gas turbine leverage in decentralized application is fuel flexibility. So they're very often used for waste fuels that maybe other technologies struggle a bit with, maybe flare gas in oil and gas, sewage, biofuels, especially when they have low and variable low heat value. And there is another thing also that makes gas turbine very useful, very competitive, which is the potential to use waste heat, so for cogeneration. And usually it's high quality heat, very easy to harvest. So that is why they are very much used for residential, but most likely commercial and industrial heat, because they prefer being used in application where the heat drives their requirements. So need to high grade heat or high heat to power ratio. Now, there is another thing that small turbines can also help in remote locations. We not access to the grid or maybe an unstable grid. In this case, they are expected to play a significant role in emerging economies. For example, let's take the case of Africa, where natural gas is expected to drive the industrial growth, and mini grids and microgrids, so standalone generation, is expected to provide cost-effective electricity access for nearly a third of the African population in 2030. Now, smart grids and microgrids present significant opportunity, especially for small and micro gas turbines worldwide. And we are involved in some projects. The most relevant that comes into my mind is the Robinson project that we coordinate. And that project aims to study the impact of these very much integrated decentralized energy systems into solar, wind, very efficient gas turbines, hydrogen, biogas, into decarbonizing an island in Norway. Now, concerning the carbon neutral aspect, which was the part of the second question you asked, concerning the carbon neutral aspect, this is not a matter of technology. This is a matter of fuel. And gas turbines are already able to run on many clean fuels like hydrogen. But what is currently missing is the infrastructure for such fuels.
So I feel like my last question is a little redundant, but where are gas turbines' biggest advantages, and then where will they struggle, you know, in the future of these types of energy systems? And to those points, you know, what solutions and applications are addressing these issues?
Yeah, to add upon what we discussed in the previous question, I would say that gas turbines are flexibility enablers. So in the decentralized energy system working group, we concluded that clean and dispatchable solutions are the enabler of the energy transition. There's not going to be energy transition without clean and dispatchable solution. And we must stress that gas turbine is already available technology that can deliver clean and dispatchable power and heat. Now, what makes them attractive from the technological perspective, I would say, is low maintenance, fuel flexibility, and then potential to use waste heat for process or to increase overall performance. But what we are seeing now is the role of gas turbine is changing rapidly, especially in decentralized systems. So we're going for, we say, 8,000 operating hours per year to roughly 1,000. And we're going from 2-3 cycle starts per year to 2-3 cycles per day. Which is very different way to operate the machine. And that will significantly impact energy systems economic, but also technical aspect. So if you go on the one hand, there is the quality and market barrier. So given that we need flexible solution, there is a necessity for incentives and remuneration schemes that make this flexible solution that we need economically viable. So if we don't take that into account, a lot of the current capacity can go through economic decommission. And that's many studies, like the NSOE study proves, there's going to be a substantial problem for adequacy of the grid. Now, on the technical side, there are several relevant aspects. So how these new macro requirements will affect, for instance, maintenance and operation. But there is one of the most important aspects that the R&D community is currently working on, which is the free flexibility, which is not only intended as the ability to run on different fuel, like ammonia, hydrogen, or biofuels. We already can do that, and we show that in several projects. But why it's actually very important is to do that, minimizing the emissions like NOx. So that will be an enabler that will make dispatchable and affordable gas turbines also recognized as a sustainable and clean technology, which is ready for tackling the whole energy trilemma.
Okay, awesome, Giuseppe. Thank you so much for answering my questions and talking with me today. This is a very relevant and very prevalent topic in our the turbo machinery industry right now. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of the Turbo Time podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Espinoza, and we will see you next time.